Good morning and welcome to Shattering This. I am your host and tour guide, Yada. Each weekday morning, I strive to expose the beguiling and destructive myths associated with religion and politics, with patriotism and the media, and with military and economic schemes. If you listen, your eyes will be opened, and you may end up changing your mind towards many of these human institutions. Instead of merely presenting the news, my mission this morning will be to help you understand what is actually occurring behind the headlines, all while predicting how these events will shape our world over the next 20 years. Then, during our second hour, we will engage Yahweh on his terms by way of his one and only covenant and through his always dependable Torah teaching, so that with God's guidance, you will be able to replace your religion with reason and engage in a relationship. Our phone number, if you would like to question, criticize, or affirm anything that is said on this program, is 877-300-7645. You know, it was interesting last week as the Mayan cataclysmic event of apocalypse came and went without so much as a hiccup in the world, that I didn't recall seeing apologies on Discovery Channel and History Channel and all of those other talking heads that made a career and fortunes over promoting what was so obviously a myth. And I recall as, if we go back 3 or 4 years ago, and this myth was beginning to unravel, and I use that term because the writing system of the Mayas was knots in rope, which have all disintegrated, which is why we know almost nothing about their culture. But as it was unraveling, I received hundreds upon hundreds of letters from proponents of religion, usually Christians, with them citing some evangelist or pastor out there that had identified a tie-in between the Mayan calendar and their religious beliefs. Reminded me how the Roman Catholics, trying to expand their religion, would always accommodate whatever pagan event people were celebrating, saying, sure, you're welcome, bring in your paganism, bring in whatever it is that you believe, and you can continue to celebrate that as part of our religion. No one seems to be around to apologize when they goof. But it was obvious that the Mayans were not predicting the end of the world. They couldn't even predict their own demise. And God has a really strict standard on these sorts of things. You don't get a do-over. This isn't a video game where you can buy extra lives. God says if someone makes a prophecy and they get it wrong, any one of their prophecies, in any possible way, they get it wrong, then they are a false prophet. It's deadly to listen to them. Of course, in the so-called Christian New Testament, there is a false prophet. He made one prediction, Paul. He claimed that what he called the harpazo, which is a violent snatching away, was rendered rapture by being translated from harpazo to Latin and then transliterated from Latin into English. But he said that it would occur during his lifetime. He was wrong. What does God say about those who claim to speak for him who get a prediction wrong? That they are not only false prophets, but listening to them is deadly. There's a predictions that I have made about Afghanistan, about Iraq, about Syria, that I made about Tunisia, that I made about Libya, that I made about Egypt, that I make about the Middle East, that I make about all of the world of Islam. But do not assume that because every one of those predictions has materialized and the events have continue to play out exactly as I said they would, going back now 11 years ago, that I'm a prophet. I'm not. I have simply read what Yahweh, through his prophets, has revealed to us. And I've taken the time to come to understand the playbook of jihadists. Therefore, it's extraordinarily easy to predict these events. I told all who would listen that Afghanistan would become another Vietnam, that it would be impossible for us to distinguish between friend and foe, that we would prop up a government that would be more corrupt than the government we deposed, that we would spill blood and coin, and over a long period of time, we would make a very bad situation much worse. And I said, the reason for that is that because this time the enemy is a religion, a politicized religion called Islam. And so long as Islam exists as the dominant force in Afghanistan, nothing can be done to benefit that country. We can't make it better so long as Islam is the dominant force. Here's just another example from the news. A woman wearing an Afghan police uniform. Now, for a woman to be wearing a police uniform, she is the product of American gerrymandering. It's us telling Muslims that they must incorporate women into their political apparatus, something they would never do on their own because Islam is diametrically opposed to women. Now, the Quran speaks of women as being worth half that of a man and that a man can control women. It speaks of women in the Hadith as if they were animals that can be beaten, they can be abused, they can be starved, they can be killed without recrimination by men. And so the very fact that there was a woman in uniform tells us that there was American gerrymandering, but we didn't take the Islam out of the woman. You see, a woman wearing an Afghan police uniform has murdered a U.S. civilian inside the police headquarters in Kabul. Now, mind you, because she killed an American civilian as opposed to a military individual, it won't be counted on the American death list out of that conflict. It is believed that she is the first to murder an American inside of an official office building as a woman. The reason for that is there's so few women that would take on this kind of job. But she could do it in duplicity. She could do it by telling the other religious leaders, the other Islamists around her, listen, I am an Islamist. I'm going to go in here for the express purpose of becoming a suicide bomber. In a separate incident, the same day, at least five local policemen were murdered by another officer in northern Afghanistan. And so this says, there has been a rise in incidents which Afghan security force members have shot dead either foreign personnel or their own colleagues. Yes, it's the number one cause of death by both Afghan police and army members and by Americans now in Afghanistan. The very people we are training, the very people we are equipping are now killing us. We went into Afghanistan to manufacture our next enemy. Speaking of Islam, one of the things that was so horrendous about our invasion of Afghanistan is something that was immediately obvious the day that we invaded, is that by invading Afghanistan and pushing the Taliban and Al-Qaeda out of Afghanistan, the place they would retreat would be Pakistan. And in Pakistan, it is far worse for us that they would be there than in Afghanistan, because last time I checked, Afghanistan doesn't have nuclear bombs. Pakistan does. So this is now the result of making Pakistan ever more fundamentalist as a result of our invasion. A mob in Pakistan has stormed a police station and beaten to death a Muslim man who was accused of desecrating the Quran. The victim's body was then set afire, according to witnesses. The unnamed victim had earlier been handed over to police after burnt pages of the Quran were found in a mosque in the Dadu district north of Karachi, where he had been staying overnight. So here's a man, probably illiterate, the burnt pages of the Quran are found in a mosque, and it's just assumed that this man is the man that burned them, and the response was, you burn a book, so long as that book is the Quran, we burn you. Now, there's a good rational religious response, don't you think? Hours later, the mob went to the police station, seized the man, and then killed him. The district police chief told the BBC that the gruesome incident was filmed on mobile phones. He said the footage was being reviewed to identify the culprits. Well, 30 people so far have been detained in connection with the attack. This isn't an isolated incident. This isn't your, you know, there have been, I don't know, a handful, score, dozen, something like that, misguided Christian evangelists who have decided they would bomb abortion clinics. They're almost always lone wolves acting on their own. Well, when malfeasance is perpetrated in the Islamic world, it's never an isolated case. I can't say it's never. It's seldom an isolated case. It's usually the movement collectively acting together. And such was the case here. Over 30 people thought that it would be a swell idea to go attack a police station, to drag an individual out, beat him to death, and then light his body on fire, all while screaming, "Allahu Akbar, Allah is greater." Now, the local police officers, being Muslims themselves, didn't do a thing. They just stood aside. They have now been arrested for failing to protect the man. The BBC's Shahzeb Jilani says this is just amazing. Says that blasphemy is a highly sensitive issue in Pakistan, where scores of people have been killed by mobs or vigilantes. Oh, blasphemy is highly sensitive. Here's the deal. Muhammad was a scum. He was a rapist. He was a pedophile. He was a mass murderer. He was a ruthless terrorist. He was an avowed liar. He was a kidnapper. He was a thief. He was a womanizer. He plagiarized much of his Quran. He was among the most repulsive people who ever lived. Muslims know this. And therefore, to keep the world from knowing the truth about the lone messenger of the wannabe God, Allah, anyone who dares tell the truth, if they are subject to the wrath of Muslims, will be killed. That's what they don't want you to know. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. I am your host, Yadam. It is just amazing what the BBC will print and distribute as if it were a news report. This BBC's correspondent says that blasphemy is a highly sensitive issue. Highly sensitive means that it's protected under political correctness. That means you ought not investigate it. You ought not talk about it. You ought not criticize it. You ought to just leave it alone, because that's the tolerant thing to do. That's what highly sensitive means. He also says that the often controversial laws on blasphemy are misused, as opposed to being written for a specific purpose and used according to that purpose. He lies, and he says they are often misused to persecute minorities, which means that it has a political intent, or to settle scores, which means it's personal and petty. None of that's true. Absolutely none of it. Why couldn't this man, who is assigned Pakistan as his duty, associate the blasphemy laws with the religion that conceived them? Islam. Muhammad had anyone who criticized him murdered. Muhammad had those who didn't acquiesce to his new religion burned alive. This is what Allah says in the 33rd surah, that any Muslim who does not surrender to Islam, and Islam means submission, that they are not only to be murdered, but the murder should be horrible, so abusive, so sadistic, that no one would dare challenge Islam in the future. Why couldn't this individual tell you that? Why couldn't this individual tell you that it is central to Sharia, Islamic law, that there is no tolerance for anyone criticizing Muhammad, the Quran, or Allah. Why? Because Muhammad, the Quran, and Allah are destroyed with words. Evidence and reason are lethal to Islam. That's the reason why evidence and reason are not tolerated in Islam. Hello, Larry. I understand that you would not agree with this journalist. You're rather a fan of evidence and reason, and would view this rather negatively.
Well, you know, I'm somewhat dismayed that the West runs around emasculating itself and feigning and falling over backwards for a religion that's really based upon murder, rape, torture. Right. I mean, that really is the foundations of Islam.
Well, Islam would not exist if Muhammad hadn't been a mass murderer. He robbed his way to prosperity, and even beyond that. I mean, it's very much like Genghis Khan. Genghis Khan created a gang of individuals, and their means of economy was to take money from others under the force of arms, and you either capitulated to them and gave them what they wanted, and swore your allegiance to them, or they killed you. And either way, they were taking your money.
Yeah, but that was well put because that was their entire economy.
And that was the entire economy of Islam. And it has been the entire economy for Islam for a very long time.
How many Islamic countries are prosperous?
If you were to take stolen oil, because the fiefdoms there stole all rights to it, they were given their own fiefdoms there, and then they nationalized all of the business interest there, and then they formed OPEC. So if you were to exclude OPEC from the equation, the answer would be none. There are 55 Islamic countries. They're the most hellish places on earth to live. As a matter of fact, in Egypt, now that it has become an Islamic state, governed now by Sharia law, its credit rating has fallen over and over again. I think it's now B-, and it's become wholly dependent upon handouts from the International Monetary Fund in the United States and other countries in Europe. If it were not for handouts,
like Saudi Arabia, what percentage of the workforce is foreign?
Well, you know that. The real. That's a good question. The reality is that if you look at the hadith, and I'll answer this indirectly. If you look at the hadith, when Muhammad took his handful of goons from Mecca to Yathrib, following the embarrassment of the satanic verses and the embarrassment of the wild ass ride to the non-existent temple in Jerusalem, in shame, they did not know how to work. None of them did anything for a living. Muhammad hadn't worked, nor had any of these men worked. And so when they went to Yathrib, they used to marvel at people working. And then they borrowed money from them, then they killed them rather than paying them back. We'll return and talk about Saudi Arabia in a moment. Hello and welcome back to Shattering Myths. I am your host and tour guide, Yada. We're joined by Larry. Larry was asking a question about Saudi Arabia, which is chief amongst the OPECers, as to what the nature of their economy was. And the fact is that the only viable aspect of their economy is oil exports. And the reality is that even in the oil business, Muslims don't do anything. They are not responsible. Like if you look at any of the countries in the Islamic world, they don't design the buildings. They don't design the refineries. They don't build the buildings. They don't build the refineries. They don't work. And when you don't work and you're given a stipend from ill-gotten gain, seized and nationalized refining assets, it destroys your character. So the answer is that virtually everyone who works in Saudi Arabia is a foreign national. And one of the problems is that there are most of the countries surrounding uh, Saudi Arabia and other, like Kuwait, who have provided particularly women to go in there and be servants, are no longer willing to send them, particularly into Saudi Arabia. I mean, there is country after country that has passed laws saying that it is illegal for Saudi Arabia to recruit servants from their country. Why? Because the royal family and these princes who are so corrupted by their religion use nail guns to torture them. They take cigarettes and burn them. They pull out fingernails. They are just animals. And these are supposedly our allies in the war against terrorism, and they terrorize their own servants. It is a repulsive situation, and that's all because of the religion. Islam is literally pure Satanism. In Islam, Allah is Satan. Allahu Akbar is Satan's craving desire. It means that he wants to be considered better and more important than Yahweh. In Islam, this is Allah is Satan achieving his heartfelt desire, which is to be worshipped as if he were God. And yet he spends all of his time in hell torturing people. And his primary edict for humankind is to go out and kill for him, to terrorize for him, to torture for him, even to lie for him. Speaking of that, Larry, we found that that Egypt is now awaiting results of their referendum on what is called by the BBC a controversial draft constitution. Not controversial, it's Sharia. And no one is waiting on the results. Again, I'm not a prophet. But let me tell you that over 60%, in fact, I've said this now for months, that over 60% of Egyptians are going to favor the most strict form, most strict imposition of Islam. And guess what they're now saying? Yep, it is now believed that far more than 60% of voters said yes to the Sharia document, which, of course, is not only endorsed by Islamist President Mohamed Morsi, but was the one cobbled together by members of the Muslim Brotherhood and the Salaf Party in Egypt with absolutely no input from anyone who wasn't a fundamentalist Muslim.
Yeah, and had it
now,
not
wasn't hard to predict.
And had it not been 60%, they would have said it was 60 or 70% anyway. And, you know, I mean, they've taken over. That's the end of it. You're going to see Israel surrounded by more and more rabid Islamists than there were prior to the takedown of Egypt and Libya and soon Syria. So we're going to have, we're just seeing prophecy fulfilled before our eyes, aren't we?
Right. You know, in this particular case, when there were these Arab Spring rallies on behalf of democracy, and let's pretend that's what they really were, there'd be tens of thousands of people in Tahrir Square in the middle of Cairo. When the Muslim Brotherhood came back and their leader was able to make his first public appearance, 2 to 3 million people showed up in the square, and they were chanting death to Israel.
Yep.
It's an entirely different mindset now in Egypt, and America is still supplying billions of dollars of weapons to the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt.
Well,
and we're supplying billions of dollars in economic aid.
Well, that is a fact, and it's mighty hard to understand why I get up and go to work every day so I can help advance Islamic causes. I don't think the average American is being represented very well by the government. Do you?
No. And speaking of that, the United States is now siding with the Syrians who are opposing Assad because Americans are so simplistic. They look at Syria like they look at Iraq. If you look at the worst thing that Saddam Hussein did, where he gassed a small village of Kurds, treating the Kurds like every other Middle East Arab and Muslim nation as subhuman, therefore Saddam Hussein was a bad guy and he had to be deposed. No question, Saddam Hussein is a bad guy. But not being able to see things in context, America didn't recognize that if we invaded Iraq and we gave people the vote there, that 65 to 70% of them would vote for the most fundamentalist Shia Muslims, and that the party that they would elect would be completely controlled out of Tehran, that we would give Iraq to Iran. Well, the same thing is now appearing in Syria. Assad's a bad guy. His daddy killed 40,000 people on a weekend. He's a really bad guy. And yet the people who are opposing him are fundamentalist Muslim jihadists. They're worse.
Oh, I read some
with
lovely
Saddam Hussein.
Where they're walking up and they're making little boys cut the heads off their own mothers and fathers. You know, these are the people that we're supporting now. I say we. I don't support them. But
yes.
I mean our government. And again, you and I kind of have a little break here. I think that this is intentional. I think they do see it. I think when Obama was doing his apology tour when he first started in his first 4 years, he went over.
Yeah, well, he thought he was the Messiah for the world, where he wanted to be president of the world, not just of the United States. So he spent all of his time in the Islamic world telling them how wonderful they were and how great their religion was.
But he called out the Muslim Brotherhood by name during a speech in Egypt and said he looked forward to working with them. You know, he green-lighted them right there. And, you know, from they became emboldened, actually, after that speech, I noticed. I think it's intentional. I think that the powers that be happen to hate Israel. I don't think they know what to do with Israel. Many people have a tendency to believe that Israel doesn't really exist. Israel is, you know, even many people that are in the movement that understand Yahweh's name do not understand that the Jews are Yehudim. They don't believe it. They believe that most Jews are fake Jews, and they're absolutely wrong about that, or Zachariah is completely wrong.
Yeah. Mythology prevails. The difference is that I'm not a conspiracy theorist, mainly because when you begin to promote conspiracies, you marginalize your credibility on subjects that are near and dear to my heart, and in that case would be sharing Yahweh's Torah. So I have studied the history of this, the most predominant conspiracy. I have read the memoirs and history of the Jacobins, Abe Barrel's very long treatise on Adam Weishaupt's philosophy that became the Order of the Illumes, and I have read the Oxford Review of None Dare Call It Conspiracy. I've read Quigley's book, Tragedy and Hope, and I have read Sutton's books on the best enemy that money can buy, and studied everything from Skull and Bones to the Council on Foreign Relations. And while there are themes and connections which are undeniable, and while there is this undercurrent of socialist secular humanism and political correctness as the replacement religion, the reality is that if you simply expose what things are happening and why they're happening, you don't actually have to get into a conspiracy. I'll give you a great example. It's very possible that you're right, that the President of the United States knows that what he is doing is undermining not only the freedom of Muslims in the Middle East, because they're the first victims of Islam, but also suicidal for the future of America. There is a distinct possibility that he knows that. I don't really care. The reason I don't care is because Americans elected him. And the problem isn't so much that we have a leader who is corrupt. The problem is that we have a population who continues to elect the greater of two evils. It's the population of America who is so ignorant and so unaware of so many things surrounding them, economic things, military issues, and religious issues, that they aren't capable of voting intelligently. And so they have free will, they have free choice, and they're squandering it by the fact that they are ignorant. Yah says in Hosea, which we call Hosea, means salvation, that my people are destroyed for lack of knowing. And that really is the issue today in America. So since we have no chance of salvaging the religious and political and academic and media spokespeople and leadership in America, none, or in the world, we do have a chance of exposing the truth so that individuals who can listen to this program have the opportunity to know the truth and therefore reject their association with political and religious institutions. And so I prefer to focus on the truth, expose the maladies within these religions, within these political schemes, within these military schemes, because there are individuals who are hungry for the truth, who know there's something desperately wrong. And when they find it and they realize, I ought not be trusting my government, then hopefully some percentage of those will say, is there anyone worthy of my trust? And that's why the second half of the program is devoted to the one individual who is worthy of our trust. Speaking of stupid, if you look at the most recent reports out of Syria, which is a place where we've spent a lot of time, because Syria is the precursor for World War III. What we're witnessing in Syria, more than any of these places, is a prediction of what's going to occur as it relates to the Magog War and to the deaths of billions of people. So we're going to talk about who the jihadists and mujahideen are in Syria, what's happening there, and what the media is reporting about it when we return to Shattering Myths in a moment. To the final news segment of Shattering Myths today. We're looking forward when we return to the Torah's perspective to Iowa to having Bentley rejoin us. For those who listened to the program last week, know that Bentley identified himself as a Jesus guy, and while listening to the program, heard absolute and irrefutable proof that there is no Jesus, that Christ is a bogus moniker as well, and was saying, where did you get this information? And then called into the show, and he's has already called in this morning and has promised to call back in the second hour. So we'll have a discussion with Bentley. Talking about Syria.
Because that, by the way.
Turning back to Syria, what we have said in Syria is that we deserve a lot of the blame for Syria. It's being now manifest before our eyes. When we invaded Iraq, the United States did, and got the world to go along with the invasion of Iraq, what we did is we ended up taking Iran's only enemy and turning Iran's enemy into Iran West. We gave Iraq, which had formerly been Iran's enemy, to Iran, which now extended their influence because Syria, through the Ba'athist Party, was loyal to Saddam Hussein, and his ally was Iraq, because Syria doesn't have enough oil and gas to support itself, and nothing else works in an Islamic country. But now Syria is controlled by Iran, and Iran, through that bridge, also now controls Lebanon. And now, because of their influence, Iran is the primary benefactor of Hamas. And now Iran has huge influence in Egypt. And so Saudi Arabia, who has been the benefactor financially of all of these things, providing the money for jihad to circle the globe, is envious. Their position has been weakened. So what we have in Syria is a proxy war, one that the United States started with its invasion of Iraq. And the very awakenings that councils that we established in Iraq as the means to extricate ourselves from the country, it's those mujahideen and those weapons that turned what was a peaceful uprising in Syria into an armed insurrection in which tens of thousands of people are dying. And now, just as we did in Libya, the United States is supplying weapons via Qatar and Saudi Arabia to the mujahideen. And if you want to look at both sides are rotten to the core. But the most murderous are actually the Mujahideen that the United States is supporting. And so if the Mujahideens, if the side that we are supporting prevails, then they will annihilate the 10% population of that country that is Christian. They'll annihilate them.
Can I make a prediction here?
Sure.
They will prevail. He'll be gone.
It is likely that will occur because the world is most actively arming the terrorists. It's just like in Libya, when Qatar and the Sudan and the United States started supplying the very weapons that were later turned on our ambassador, when we started supplying weapons to the Mujahideen that we had fought in Afghanistan, to these Libyan jihadists, there is no way for a country to protect itself from its citizens when its citizens are firing machine guns, when they're firing anti-tank missiles, when they're firing mortars. And so we turned that situation into a place where there was nothing that the government can do. Because if the government begins to slaughter its own people because they're trying to take down the government, then the world comes in and pounds the country. And so ultimately, the handwriting is on the wall, that ultimately the insurrection will end with Assad being killed. But when that happens, the situation will be worse, not better. Just like our invasion of Afghanistan, just like our invasion of Iraq, just like our support of the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt. Bad situations, bad actors were shoved aside for worst ones. And when you spill blood and coin to make a bad situation worse, you're acting in a suicidal, ignorant, and irrational way. And that is pervasive now in most everything America touches. So it gets back to the question, why is there a common theme? Why are we always doing the wrong thing? We'll return and speak to Bentley when the Shattering Miss returns after these messages.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free...